I started this falling chains message a few months back, and every time, it's funny, every time I start to do this again, the Holy Spirit makes a change, and I don't want to say another change, because he knows exactly what he's doing, and I'm catching up with him. I'm glad to say it. Boy, it's, you know, those of you who have got message ready, you know when God makes a change.
Yeah.
And you know that when that comes, you know that's happening because it comes fast.
Yeah.
And there's no stumbling or hindrance to it at all. And I'm going to do, like I've always, what I've been doing here for the last year or so, open to Psalm 33. Everybody in this room can quote this. We're going to read it anyway.
Amen.
Because it's God's word.
That's right.
And that's a good enough reason right there. And there's going to be another reason. It will be very clear here shortly. Psalm 33, verse 12. This is on a cross that stands on my counter down at the shop. I get very many people that comment on it. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Are you seeing any changes in this nation now? I mean, dramatic changes. A lot of very, very good changes. Are you seeing any opposition? How about stronger opposition than you've ever seen?
That's right.
There is precedence for that. Our text for this evening is going to be Acts chapter 12. We'll go there now. Love the book of Acts.
Amen.
It's the early church. It's things that are that we should actually be doing today also.
Oh, yeah.
In the same, you know, in the same manner. And, you know, I was just going to, this started out to be a review because I did this before. So I was just going to review this quickly and then get down to where I was, to where we were actually talking about chains. But I got this far. Now, about that time, Herod, verse 1, in the New King James, I may jump to the Amplified. Now, about that time, Herod the king, say the king.
The king.
That's the man that's in charge, right? The person that's in charge. Stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Remember, we talked about James and John, the sons of Zebedee, whose mom took him by the hand and said, Jesus. He said, what can I do for you? He said, well, I want this one son to sit on your right hand and this one to sit on your left hand when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus must have been stunned. He just looked at her and said, you have any idea what you're asking? You know, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? And they said, oh, yeah. Yeah, Sunday. We can do this all on Sunday. We can do this. Lord, we're with you right now. Well, indeed, they did drink of that cup. But he killed James. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, which as I said before, was a tremendously embarrassing way to die, humiliating way to die back in those days. And the thing about this whole set of scriptures that still bothers me to this day, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Peter, the apostles, were all Jewish people. Herod is killing Jewish people. And Jewish people are celebrating it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that happens to Christianity also. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that make a mistake. And boy, I'll tell you, Dean, we're just ready to throw them to the lions or whatever other thing we can destroy them with, or and destroy them with our mouths.
Yep.
We forgot about what's said in the Old Testament about touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Well, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that it's true. And I just, you know, that it's easy to have that critical spirit. It really is. But to rejoice and be happy about a fellow Christian or a fellow Jew being killed, that says a whole lot about what your makeup is and what your integrity is.
Amen.
So I thought about the persecution. This is where God said, he's talking the first thing about the persecution. Do you have any idea how much persecution is going on right now? And we'll start briefly with our nation. In fact, let's do this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll be coming back to Acts. I promise you that. Maybe. Let's see what the Holy Spirit has here. And the electronical difficulties that happened up in the booth is not going to happen here. In the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Drop down to verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Boy, it's something to be said about perseverance. Just persevere, just to persevere. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. In other words, wherever he went. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Anybody in here ever suffered persecution of any kind because of your Christian walk? Do you have any idea what's going on around the world right now? Now, you know, this church has so much word, and I very, very seldom print articles off to read. That's just not me. Folks who do it, that's great because it imparts a lot of knowledge. But I couldn't get this all in my spirit to do it from memory, so I'm going to read this to you because it's that important. Now, to give you an idea how important it is, I know I was given this as a gift by my kids because I was having, with my eye surgeries, I've been having some problems. I was able to read this. The font is bigger and everything. But this is a tool that I have no idea how to use. And I'm serious. My wife and my children have been trying to educate me on this. I finally learned, I can spot trends. I finally learned how to get on the internet. I think that's going to catch on. I really think the internet's going to catch on someday. I can spot a trend. I mean, I'd be the brightest bulb in the box. So I got on the internet, and neither polar cap melted. The sun continued to still come up in the east. There was a lot of things that just continued to happen that I just thought would change that did not. And I looked up the word persecution. Okay, now, I always try to bring something to the pulpit that's happening right now in the news. So I'm going to bring you some things that are happening right now. It's hot off the press, as they say. Now, you're aware of the persecution that's taking place for the young lady who wanted to play soccer. Did you hear the story? She's an international soccer. She's not an international soccer team. She wasn't. It's not a professional team. But she's a great soccer player. Her name will come to me in a minute. They wanted her to wear the gay pride T-shirt while she was playing soccer. And she refused to on religious. She says, I'm not going to do that. And they said, if you won't wear this shirt, then you're not playing soccer. She said, that's exactly right. And she's not playing soccer. This just happened a couple days ago. This is what she's going through. How about the baker? You know about you've seen the Supreme Court. Now, how many members of the Supreme Court? Nine. So if a decision comes down 5-4, that's a close decision. Right? I mean, it's a squeaker, right? It's barely, you know. 7-2, and the news media called it a narrow victory. A narrow victory, they called for this. They give this baker his rights back because they were stolen from him because he refused to make a cake for same-sex marriage on religious beliefs. He'd have made many other cake, but that was, and the people forced the issue. It should have never gone that far, but ultimately what we call the Supreme Court, forgive us, Lord, for calling it the Supreme Court, but it's our highest court in the land we have here, vindicated this man. A persecution. That's a persecution. We have a few pastors that are in prison right now, one in Canada that I know for sure, a couple other places around the world, for preaching the gospel. People are calling it hate speech. These are persecutions that are coming to this nation. Well, we've taken some beatings, but not like what's happening around the world right now. Now, give you an idea. What is the number one country that's being mentioned today on the news? Does anybody listen to the news? North Korea. Now, it family that served in Korea. As far as I'm concerned about North Korea, we owe them a real good rear end kicking. But unfortunately, there's a lot of innocent people south of the border that would be hurt if we did exactly what, you know. And I haven't called fire down on them. But listen to this. Before you listen to all the people to tell you how nice everything is. North Korea. Like everyone else, Christians in North Korea must worship the nation's leader. That's a national edict that they have to do this. And to belong to another religion makes you an enemy of the state. Thousands of Christians are held in North Korea's prison camps, and many have reportedly been tortured and executed. Believers who meet secretly risk arrest and death. The population of North Korea is approximately 25.2 million people. There are 300,000 Christians there. Now, I pulled this up because I use these examples because the Middle East is such a hot spot in that area right now. Since Boko Haram came to prominence, thousands of Christians have been abducted or killed. This is happening in Nigeria. Thousands more have also been killed by Hassan Fulani, a Muslim herdsman. In the north country, Christians are treated as second-class citizens, and there are reports of them being denied access to schools, and of Christian villages being denied clean water and access to health care. Christian population is 184 million people. There's approximately 89 million Christians being persecuted. Anybody heard of the nation called Syria? An estimated 700,000 Christians have fled Syria since the start of the civil war in 2011. Parts of the country have been claimed by ISIS. Christians are often abducted and killed. Population of Syria is 22 million. Approximately Christian population is 1.1 million. You know what these people can't do, church? They can't get in their car on Wednesday evening and come to church.
Yeah.
Or they can't not get in their car on Wednesday evening and not come to church.
Right.
Or whatever else you're doing that's so important in your life that you just can't come to church. These people are risking their lives. All we want is people to pray with us for a little bit. Anybody ever hear of Iraq?
Yeah.
Many Christians fled Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein as persecutions escalated. As Islamic State has taken control of large parts of the country, Christians and other minorities have been forced to convert, pay a punitive tax, or be killed. An estimated 100,000 people fled their homes in Mosul, the largely Christian region in northern Iraq, as ISIS advanced on the region in late 2014. Thank God we have somebody that wants to confront this.
Yeah.
There have been public killings of Christians by ISIS, some of them recorded and broadcasted for propaganda purposes. A lot of that stuff was on YouTube. And most churches have been demolished. Population is approximately 36 million people, 300,000 approximately are Christians that are still with us.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, why does everybody want to come to this country? I don't get it.
Right.
Why does everybody want to come here? The Sudan. Converting from Islam to another religion is punishable by death. Sudan also has blasphemy laws under which many Christians have been imprisoned. There are reports that the government has attacked Christians with targeted bombings and turned the blind eye to the killing of Christians by others. Christian population approximately 1.9 million. There's approximately 39, almost 40 million people in the Sudan. Just one more. See what I mean by Psalm 33?
Yeah.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
We'll expand a little bit. Somalia. Islam is the state religion, and converting to another faith is illegal. The Islamic group Al-Shabaab has publicly stated that it wants to rid Somalia of all Christians. That's just a genocide type thing that they're trying to do with Christians. And suspected believers are likely to be killed on the spot. Christians who miss meeting or going to church do so in secret, and they cannot own Bibles. Remember the stories of the people passing sheets of the Bibles around underground just to read a few phrases of it. We take so very much for granted. Now, you look at the nation of Africa right now. Tremendously large nation. The continent of Africa. All the nations that are involved in Africa. The Christians are a minority group of people there. They have more natural resources. They have more ability to grow food. They have more ability to do everything, but what they don't have is God, the creator of heaven and earth, Jehovah, not the other gods that they're worshiping. And you look at some of the things that have taken place in Africa over the last so many years. I have Somalia locked in my brain. Not Somalia, but Ethiopia was the breadbasket of Africa at one time. I don't know if you know that. People are starving. No. They can't get food. They fed the entire continent. But some people decided that it was better for the government to own everything. There are some people who believe that in this country, that the government should own everything. Yeah. And they took over the farms, threw the farmers out of there, said, no, we can do this now. Now the people are starving to death. Yeah. People in North Korea are starving to death right now. Well, Kim and the boys are living high, very high. The astronauts tell you as you pass over North Korea from the space station, yep, that continent is completely dark at night. There's no lights. Their lights are everywhere else. You can spot North Korea because there are no lights in it. Yep. They do not have God in their nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. See, I believe God set us aside. I still say that forever. You know, we're the first on the scene as a natural disaster. We're the and a lot of the giving, you know, I'm really at odds with a lot of the giving we do as a nation. But God just keeps bringing it back. Give and it shall be given. And there's just no violating that tenet of faith or that scripture. It will be given. If it's a person that's given, given it shall be given. If it's a nation, we give and it's given to us. Amen. Now, are there people that are trying to destroy that here? Boy, Satan hates this nation so bad. It's almost, for anybody to sit there and tell you that things aren't going better than they have in a very, very long time, that are angry about unemployment rates being down. You know, there's more jobs than there are people to fill them now. There's more jobs than there are people to fill them right now. They've got so much money coming into the treasury now, they don't know what to do with it. Although they'll figure out something to do with it. No, it's one of the reasons why that doesn't matter. You know, parties don't matter to me. They love the power. They love to spend. You got to pray righteous men and women into the positions of authority. But that's coming in right now. Manufacturing's up. Our nation is blessed by God, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. But it comes with persecution, and you know, none of us have been, nobody's been beheaded here yet. You haven't resisted unto blood, not yet. But I don't understand why every church that's like this is not filled to the rafters all the time, hungry for God's word. You just can't take it for granted. Okay, let's go back to Acts. And it's funny, they called it the Korean conflict. They never called it a war.
Right.
It's been going on for, what, I believe 70 years now, 75 years, something like that. 70 years? No, 70 years, yeah. And maybe they can bring an end to this nonsense. Be a great opportunity for the gospel to be preached.
Yep.
People up there are not just hungry for food, they're hungry for the word. See, this is why it's hated so much by Satan, because once those nations become free and understand that they can do this with God's help, they don't need anybody else's help. And he doesn't like that, because now they're not depending on the world system. So here we go back to King Herod. And we may not get to the end of this tonight, but boy, you know what? King Herod did, he really do get it. And about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand. So that hasn't changed. That spirit has not changed. The people that are in positions of authority that hate Christianity, that hate everything God stands for, hate everything, the Antichrist spirit is alive and well right now. It was alive and well back then. It's not going to change. One person who's ever being influenced by it, whether it's Hitler, you know, when Hitler died, you think that spirit died? No, it just transferred. And another thing, Hitler killed as many, if not more, Christians than he did Jews, saying that he was doing God's work. And a lot of folks just don't want to ignore that fact. He killed thousands of people. Same with Stalin and his gang. Killed thousands of people.
Yep.
Most of it over religion. Another part of the world. No God.
That's right.
You look at that. Look at Magog, Gog and Magog. Look at that, the curse that's on that part of the world. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. That was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers, of four each, to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. He wasn't going to bring him over. He wasn't bringing him out to the people to celebrate Peter and his ministry. All right? He was going to kill Peter because he saw that it pleased the Jews what he was doing to the other leaders at the time. They were going to kill Peter. Peter is in jail now. He is chained. Okay? Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. Dean, what's the Amplified say?
Fervent.
Fervent is one of the words.
Yeah, fervent. Persistent.
Persistent prayer, that's the word, yeah. Constant prayer was offered to God by him, for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Okay. Anybody in here ever had a sleepless night? Because of worries, concerns, no matter what. I mean, seriously, where you just lay down, your eyes are locked open, and you're looking at the ceiling. And that's it. The problem is as big as this black room that you're laying in trying to sleep, and there's nothing going to solve it. Boy, that's the enemy just beating on your head.
That's right.
Just to absolutely try to take you out.
Come on.
You've all heard my story about when I was fired from the Foodland Company. It looked like the end of the world, and it really, it's a blow. And through the tears of my wife and I and my two little kids sitting on a couch crying, I mean, I cried because I loved that job. And I looked at my wife through the tears and said, this is going to be a great testimony someday from the pulpit. And it's exactly the way God worked it out. So you know, everybody's heard the story. But it didn't. My mind was racing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I was literally in prison. Who's going to pay my mortgage? Who's going to feed my kids? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to buy the food? They took my company car. How am I going to get around? You can't imagine a computer working faster than those thoughts that the enemy can bring to your brain. It's at the speed of light it comes into your brain. Man, and you really don't know. And I always said, thank God I was saved, because I'd have been the guy in the fatigues hurting somebody badly. And I'm serious. Yeah. That's how much God had his hand on me. And I wouldn't have lost any sleep over it. I can tell you right now, some people really did me wrong. They've all come to some pretty bad ends. And I didn't pray it. I just want to let you know that. So here he is bound. Let's see if we can find some other scriptures to read here since we've got the Bible open. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll come back here. Tim says that's his favorite Bible because it's Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. There it is. You just can't get away from the giving of thanks. Be made for all men, not just the kings and people that you love, not just the people that you agree with, but for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in positions of authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Amplified Bible says that on the outward side. On the outward, you know, so people can see that. Because that's all that people can see about you. How are you living on the outward side? Are you constantly agitated about what's happening in, you know, in the government and things like that? Or is your trust really in God like you say it is? Like you tell your neighbors, and our trust in God, praise God, we're trusting God for everything. Well, are you? You know, that song, I Surrender, I Surrender All. I surrender all.
That's right.
Except my house, my car, my kids. I surrender all, my wallet, my hobbies. I don't, you know, except those things. Yeah. Yeah, my job. Do you really surrender all?
Come on.
Is it easy to do? I'm walking this. My wife and I were talking about something last night. I said, you know what, Eleanor? I got all I can do. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm covering you with my prayers and my household with prayer. But I've got all I can do to keep, in these shoes that I'm wearing, to stay right with God. I really can't look at how other people are getting along. I really can't.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes it gets thrown in your face and you go, but that's not my concern.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll pray for you. I'll help you with your burdens. I'll agree in prayer with you. But I have to walk in these shoes. When I stand before Jesus Christ, they're not going to ask me about Flo, unless I did something to offend you. Did you ever make it right with her? Well, if I didn't know. You understand what I'm saying? We all have that in front of us. So we have to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. That is just it. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He's the mediator. Prayers need to be made, fervent prayers.
Amen.
I don't know how you pray. It's really none of my business how you pray, I'm not always on my knees praying. But I'm praying in my shop, and I'm walking around. I don't want to say it's constantly, but it's more often than not that I'm praying about something or somebody. Just whoever God brings to mind, and while I'm walking, there are times when I kneel down before God to thank Him for what He's done, thank Him for the opportunity. I kneel down before I do the ministry, thank Him, give me the opportunity to minister. And then there are times when I lay flat down on my face, prostrate, face down, and just asking God for mercy for whatever. And it has never been for me; it's always been for my children, my wife. Some member of the family, something that we're in dire straits now. Now it's you and me, God, and this is how serious I am about it. But more often than not, it's just walking. If I'm walking through the shop, I'm praying for the other people's businesses. I'm praying for what are people looking for jobs? Whatever it is, whatever, you know, the people that are on that list. Now you got my brother Dean prays over that list all the time. It's a fervent prayer. It's not something we do just because we have nothing else to do. Let's jump down to James chapter 5. No, I haven't forgotten about Peter in prison. He's being prayed for right now. Yeah, oh yeah. James chapter 5. Jump down to verse 16. In fact, let me read this in the Amplified Classic version. Verse 16 says, "Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man and woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working."
Yeah.
Elijah, a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours, prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. I'm talking about earnest prayers now. He prayed again, and the heaven supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. The fervent prayer. So sometimes you just have to get to that point. It's you and God and praying fervently. Now I know. A lot of us have been almost like in traffic accidents, and we yell out, "Oh, help me, God." And He does. You know, thank God He answers those prayers quickly, right, when you need the help. But there's something about the fervent prayer and a continual prayer. That's why we really encourage everybody to come in and pray with us. That list that Dean and we've been praying over for a few years now. Well, we get some great reports, don't we?
Amen.
We really do. You know, I know I'm on that list. You know, and my good report's still coming. God's still working on these. Not done. Amen? I mean, and everybody's on that list. Fervent prayers. Back to Acts chapter 12. Peter was therefore kept in prison, and constant prayer was offered to God to him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever has you in chains locked up right now, I don't care what it is, know you've got people praying for you.
Amen.
Know it. It's happening. It's important that you know that. I believe Peter was able to sleep, first of all, because of the prayers. Second of all, it has to do with the circle of experience. This is the third time he's been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
He was delivered the first two times. So why wouldn't he have confidence in God?
Amen.
You know, that's part of the maturity of walking. You know, some of the babes in Christ, you pray, you get an answer to prayer, and it's because, you know, you're so young, and you're just turning it over, and now they just start to walk with them a little bit, and now maybe some of the reasonings start to try to come in, and why isn't it happening as fast as I think it should happen, and I'm praying, and how come I'm not seeing results? We all get to that point. We really do. That's why group prayer is so important. You need to know that you've got other people that are fighting this fight with you. You're not by yourself. He was bound between two soldiers, with the guards before the door were keeping the prison. You know, the attitude of those guards were, you know, he's gotten away two other times. It's not happening on our watch.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
First of all, the guy you're working for is not right, and you're probably not right either.
Yeah.
So let's see what's going to happen here. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And a light shone in the prison. Prisons in those days didn't have electricity.
That's right.
He didn't go down to Walmart and hit the section of scene on TV and buy one of those hurricane lanterns or those tactical lanterns and hung it up with the magnetic bottom that lights the entire universe. No, man, this is an angel coming on the scene. And why is he there? Because there's a bunch of people praying for him right now. Let's not forget this. You know, the angels weren't just sitting around saying, well, you know, I wonder what we're going to do tonight. You know, bowing their nails. See, that group of people down there praying pretty hard. Maybe we ought to go see what they're doing. Okay. I don't know how they work. I just know they work.
That's right, man.
The angel of the Lord stood beside him, and the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. I think it says that he struck him gently on the side. That's how sound asleep he is. He's sound asleep. The angel's got to be going, he's sleeping. Now I have to wake him. Okay, I got to get him out of here. I got to wake him. But he's sleeping. So he looks so nice sleeping there. I hate to bother him. Oh, man. Just let him sleep. Oh. Proverbs chapter 3. And no, it's not the scripture you think it's going to be. The scripture that's almost the theme for this church. Proverbs chapter 3. Look down to verse 21. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. My son, let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound and godly wisdom. Those are the things. And discretion. Don't let them out of your sight. And they will be life to your inner self and a gracious ornament to your neck, your outer self. Then you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust. And you shall not dash your foot against, you shall not dash your foot or stumble. Sounds like Psalm 91.
Yeah.
Here it is. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet.
Yeah.
Be not afraid of sudden terror. Boy, this is more of Psalm 91. And panic, nor of the stormy blast, or the storm and the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for you will be guiltless. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught in a trap or some hidden danger. See, you're not devil's master, master at disguise, master at deception, hidden dangers. He'll have those things to snare your foot. Just when you think, oh man, we're cruising here. So you can't not be ignorant of his devices. Amen? Sweet sleep. That's what Peter's doing. That's what he's doing right now. He's enjoying some sweet sleep, right? I didn't even check the time. Kyle, are we doing? Have I got enough time to finish any part of this at all? 4 hours. No. Wow, I never saw a 4-hour sign flash before. Okay, back to back to the book of Acts. I hope everybody's okay. I know this is kind of a laid back, kind of like almost like a Bible study type thing, but this is so very important. Because I know everybody here is going through something. And to be tormented at night, boy, that's when the torments come. That's when the kids got sick, was at night. That's when the plumbing stopped working, was at night. That's when the phone calls came, it was at night. It was always at night. It was always 3 o'clock in the morning. While I was in the middle of sweet sleep, the phone rang. Gee whiz, I mean, seriously. Come on. Oh, I'm sick, I can't go to work. Okay. So I go from Pittsburgh to down to West Virginia, back up to New York State the next day. I had an absolutely crazy boss at one time. Absolutely nuts. One of the greatest guys I ever worked for. I loved him. He used to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Just to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Dan, what are you doing? I'd say, I'm loading the gun. Where are you? He'd laugh. Then he'd hang up on me. My sweet sleep was being interrupted. I'm telling you, that's, you can't make that stuff up. Oh, my. Okay. He's bound between these two soldiers in his sleep. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Now, I have a couple of props here. I'm not exactly sure why Jack Robinson has these. But he has them. If God's pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom, though you probably can't carry them. They're pretty heavy. But the chains, these are actually, this one was, this was through Teresa's wrist. The other one was around the sweeper.
Yeah.
She was chained to the cart of cleaning supplies that she drives around. But now the guards are sleeping. It's night. It's in a prison. And the angel's standing there, and there's lights on now. Okay? And I don't mean a little candle. There's lights.
Yeah.
Okay, and he taps Peter on the face, and Peter's chains go.
That's right.
Now, how loud is that in a prison? First of all, right? You ever been sound asleep at night and hear a sound in your house?
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, I mean, you hear something. It happens to me a lot because Ellen will be out in the kitchen making breakfast for me, cooking steak and eggs and some nice potatoes and putting coffee. I would get up. No, that chain falling is probably not happening in my house. So now, only Peter's awake. At least he thinks he is.
Yeah.
Kind of loud, right?
Yeah.
Come the guards aren't awake. Come the light hasn't woke him up. Now, remember when God performed surgery on Adam?
Yeah.
Made him a deep sleep following him, right? So I guess he can do that to anybody he wants to do that to, correct? But he's in a prison. Yeah, Dean, you and your dad, Anthony and whoever else goes with you to the prison. That's an echoey, hollowy place. It's not a fun place to be in there. And noises are sharp and loud. You've got to figure the guards have got to be at least on edge a little bit because they know if we don't guard this guy, it's going to cost us our life. He's gotten away 2 other times. It's not happening now.
Yeah.
So they're asleep. Man, I love angels. I've never seen one. I want to see one. I Because I know the first thing they say, don't be afraid, because that's the first thing they say. Because they got to be gigantic beings. Don't be afraid. it's not like, don't be afraid. But don't be afraid. Because you're going to stand there with your slack-jawed, right? Or if you don't, just fall over. Then they pick you up. You know, you can't worship me. Get up. How many times have you read your Bible? You know, and have to dust you off. I know some people have seen angels, though. Ed Dufresne told a great story about his ministry when they were in trouble and he needed some finances, and he asked the angels to go forth to help him. And these two angels appeared in his office, shot through the roof. All he could see was the bottom part of the shield. Two gigantic beings were there shortly and then disappeared. And then everything that they, all the finance they needed came in after. It was a great story from years ago. A good friend of mine, the gentleman's name is Larry Leedy, lives down in West Virginia. Him and another gentleman were supervisors at Foodland with me. They head to West Virginia territory. They were on route, which is now Route 68. They pulled onto the highway, a super highway, and as he pulls off onto the ramp, he looks up, and there's a trailer truck in front of him, and the car goes immediately under the back of the trailer truck and shears the entire top of the car from the hood to the trunk, sheared it off. He's wedged under this truck. The West Virginia State Troopers get there, and some medical people said, just call the coroner. Who's ever in this car did not make it. Just call the coroner. And Larry's going, we're in here. And he said, Denny, I know, as God is my witness, angels pushed us down under the dashboard. Those guys did not get a scratch. That car was completely totaled under an 18-wheeler, totally sheared. You couldn't do it with the jaws of life. You couldn't have ripped it the way this trailer truck ripped this car. I could still see the photographs of that car. It was just absolutely frightening. They were not scratched. He said, both was down. He said, I'm under the steering wheel on the floor. But Larry was a big guy. He said, them angels were working overtime to push me out of there. So and Larry saved, Christian man, great man. Unfortunately, I've lost touch with him. But, you know, we're running out of time. Rats. Well, you know, I'm going to pick us up again. I really am. And we'll start with the angels. Because there's so many things to be said about angels, about how they're ministering spirits. They're not to be worshipped. They're here to help us. Amen. They're not figments of somebody's imagination. They're not stories that somebody made up. And, you know, and Jesus himself appears as the angel of the Lord. And you know that when it's capitalized in the Bible, they're talking about Jesus. And not just the other angels, or there are many of, to help us. When you're being prayed for, if we just had to deal with these, it would not be bad. If we just had this to deal with. But the chains we deal with, they're the ones that are here.
Come on.
The battles of sickness and disease, the battles with losing jobs, maybe you've gone through a divorce, maybe their kids aren't doing what you wanted to do. There's just so many different chains that are put on you. That's why prayer is so important. We don't know what chains you're in. I just know that the chains you're in are not what God wants for you. That's not God's best. Whatever, those are hand shackles. This chain can represent anything in your life. And again, you'll have to see Jack. Oh, he has this stuff. this can represent anything. And boy, the mental chains, not the metal, but the mental change.
That's right.
Chains hold you more securely than what these can do. And the ones behind the wall do. Amen? So whatever prison, whatever the four walls that Satan's put up around you, whatever chains he's trying to put on you, get involved with some intercessory prayer with some people, some prayer. And we're going to talk about that too next time we get together, because a group of people were together praying. They weren't gossiping. They weren't complaining about the government. They were praying fervently. And when Peter got released, they didn't believe it. And many of us have that testimony, praying for our people who don't get saved. My mother and dad showed up at the church, and I said, I don't believe it. My mother and dad are here. And it was just like God just went, what have you been praying for, boy? What's wrong with you? Hello? Easter Sunday morning, I can't believe my mom and dad are here. Powerful man of faith. Let's stand. I said, I'm trying to walk in these shoes. Amen. Father, what a grateful.